Hey guys, welcome back to the Filmmakers Podcast. My name is Andrew Gardner, and I am the maker of the Filmmakers Podcast. With the election and all the anxiety and nervousness we felt these last couple weeks, I'd like to take the director that we're talking about today out of the United States, as we're talking about Christopher Nolan and his sci-fi films. Christopher Nolan was born in 1970 in London, England. He has cemented himself as one of the most, one of the best sci-fi directors out there. He has directed many films that have great ratings, not only on IMDb, but Rotten Tomatoes. He directed the Batman trilogy, the Dark Knight films, which everyone loves. You can't really hate those movies. He often writes his scripts with his brother Jonathan. He displays a well-written script with a lot of themes. So we'll be talking about more of those themes today. I know the last couple weeks we've talked about themes of shots, sound design, and set design, but today we'll be talking more about the themes within his script. We'll be talking about non-linear storytelling, the obsession his characters feel within their movies, and then, of course, the twist endings. And Christopher Nolan has made a living of doing these in all his movies. His first movie, Memento, was shot in 2000. That movie is pretty much shot backwards, and it really displayed how good he is at non-linear storytelling. He often writes his movies with his brother Jonathan, so they do a great job within those films. So we'll be covering all that today on the Filmmakers Podcast. All right, to begin on the Filmmakers Podcast, we'll be talking about Christopher Nolan's scripts, how he writes them, how he develops his characters. And the first theme I want to talk about is non-linear storytelling. Within his movies, he will go back in time. He will shoot it backwards. And it's just kind of the way he's been able to develop scripts. The first movie I want to talk about is Interstellar.
We must confront the reality that nothing in our solar system can help us.
Now you need to tell me what your plan is to save the world.
Interstellar is a movie about the world ending. There is crop dust. The only vegetable they have to grow in the year 1967 is corn. If you're not a farmer, you're either going to college or doing something else. He put into his scripts that they pretty much written out the moon landing in 2067, the year that this movie takes place. Teachers are taught to teach the students that the moon landing was just a propaganda to bankrupt the Soviet Union. And so there's no space. There's no anything outside of the town, outside of the world that they live in. So the way it's nonlinear is his daughter, Murph, when we see her in different stages. We see her at 10, 36, and in her 80s. When she's 10, she keeps talking about a ghost that is knocking down books within her house. And the way this is nonlinear is when Cooper, who is the main character played by Matthew McConaughey, goes into space. He's trying to find a better world with the help of scientists to save the world. Essentially, he goes out with Anne Hathaway's brand, and her father is the one that is helping them pay. They're the underground NASA, essentially. So they go into there, and in the end, everyone's dying off. Brand, played by Anne Hathaway, she goes to the world that she best believes will be able to hold life, and she takes like 500 egg embryos to the world to start raising them, essentially, on this new land, so she can start a new world. And Matthew McConaughey gets stuck in a wormhole. It's very complex. I've had to watch the movie a couple times to kind of get a gist of what's going on, and so he's in this wormhole, but the wormhole is sent by someone, which he believes is himself. And then the wormhole is the books that it cuts to. It shows him the books that Murph is looking at that he's knocking down to tell her how to save the world. And then he ends up manipulating a watch that he gave her when she was 10 years old. So when she's 36, she sees that the watch is not moving and that her dad is not moving. And she can figure out through that what she needs to do to save the world. So the non-linearness comes when Murph figures out what her dad did so many years ago. So Matthew McConaughey is the same age when his daughter is 10, and then when she's 36, and then when she's like 80, and it's great.
There's one thing you should know about me. I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams.
The non-linearness in Inception it kind of is an inception. They go into dreams within a dream, so you never really know what's real. That's kind of like the nonlinearness in it, but it's not so much prevalent in that one. He kind of cuts off in The Dark Knights as well because it seems people wouldn't want a Dark Knight film that is nonlinear.
A real magician tries to invent something new.
Go on.
It's something that other magicians will scratch their heads over.
I suppose you have such a trick.
Actually, I do.
But The Prestige is very nonlinear, as you have two magicians fighting to have the best trick. So you have Christian Bale, who plays Alfred Borden. He is just locked up for killing his magician rival, Robert Anger, played by Hugh Jackman. And he's in prison reading Anger's journal about him reading Borden's journal about how he invented the best trick in the world, which is a trick where he jumps into one door and he opens up another door across the room and it's him. The whole idea of it is him trying to figure out that trick, and the nonlinearness is it's being told pretty much till the end in second person as they're reading the journals of each other. And this is something that Nolan has made huge within his films, is the nonlinearness, really trying to confuse the audience but give them a little help along the way. The next theme I want to talk about is obsession. The obsession of Interstellar is saving the world, pretty much. What is happening is the world is not made to hold humans, and their crops, which is all corn, is being often hit by dust and destroyed, and they have to burn it every year. And so what happens is Michael Caine within the movie Interstellar plays Brand, the older Brand, to Anne Hathaway's Brand. Michael Caine is in pretty much all of Nolan's movies, which is fantastic. He's a fantastic actor. He has developed a way. He's found different worlds through a black hole that they can try to inhabit. So the whole goal is to get this mission off, and they have two plans. They have plan A, which is they take everyone from the world we know that is being beat down and broken down and taking them somewhere into space, but they got to figure out the gravity in that, like how to keep gravity on a new world. And then the plan B is taking, like I said, like a bunch of like eggs and growing them in a world that they find. So the whole goal for Matthew McConaughey is to save his family, his daughter Murph, and their son Tom. And he wants to do plan A all the way. His obsession is getting plan A done. And the thing is, when you get through the black hole and you land on the world that you're trying to inhabit, you lose for every hour, it's 7 years of your life. So Tom's obsession is leaving his family to save him, but he might come back and watch his kids die. They'll be 80 and he's 36, and that's what we end up seeing in the end. And then the obsession for Brand, played by Michael Caine, the older Brand, is just to do plan B. He never really focused on plan A. He did all the math before he even sent them out, and he didn't tell them this. So the obsession is to find a world for them to live on, or to make their own artificial gravity and live on like a space planet. And it was another obsession is Dr. Mann, played by Matt Damon. He was like a character no one really thought was going to be in the movie because he didn't expect him, and then he popped up. His whole mission is to finish Brand's mission, the Michael Caine older version Brand, not Anne Hathaway. And so he ends up trying to kill Matthew McConaughey's Cooper, and it's a big struggle. He ends up blowing up the ship that they're in, and it's crazy. And then the obsession in Inception is Cobb, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. His whole goal is to go back and see his kid. He's a wanted criminal, and he has a way to enter people's dreams. And so his whole goal is to go back and stop not only his wife, Mal, played by Marion Cotillard, who plays his wife that often ends up in his like heist. He does heist in dreams, and she often ends up in the heist and tries to ruin it. He's trying to get rid of her in his dreams and kind of let her go because she ended up killing herself within one of the dreams. So now she's lost in the dream, and he's also trying to go back and see his kids. And so his whole obsession is to pretty much pull off this heist against Robert Fisher, who is a billionaire, and they're trying to finish off this heist. They're trying to get into his dreams and kind of hold him captive till they get money. And that's the whole goal, is for him to pretty much write off his name as a criminal. And then the obsession and the prestige, this is the one I think has the most obsession within all the films, is pretty much these two magicians trying to one-up each other. You have Christian Bale's Borden, who has this great trick where, and then Anger is trying to solve the trick essentially himself. And it's all about obsession, betrayal, and it all stems to when Borden, Anger's wife, Julia, she's a magician. She finds a way. She has this act where she drops into a vat of water with hands tied, and she gets out with the curtain drawn so no one sees her trick. And she ends up dying because Borden, who is helping Cutter, also played by Michael Caine, he ends up tying a knot that is too difficult for her to get out, and she ends up dying. And then Anger ends up going to one of Borden's shows and shooting off his fingers. And then when Anger's starting to get his own show going, Bale comes in and just ruins the whole trick. It's just a big obsession, an obsession to where Anger ends up going to Colorado Springs, Colorado, and meeting Tesla, played by David Bowie, and buying the machine that he believes Borden made. And then Tesla builds him this machine. And it's just the obsession of trying to one-up each other. Obsession is huge in all these movies. And then the last theme we're looking at is twist endings. It's not like M. Night Shyamalan twist endings where they were good at the start and then they gradually get worse. They're really good twist endings throughout. So we'll talk about Interstellar first. The twist ending is that when Cooper is in the black hole, he is the one that is the ghost that his 10-year-old daughter Murph sees. And he is the one that sends himself to the underground NASA station using gravity, using dust. And it's funny because you just think he's going to get stuck in a black hole and he's going to die there. But then you see that the black hole is made up of a bookcase that's in his 10-year-old daughter's room. And then at the same time, his 36-year-old daughter is figuring out that his dad is sending her a message, how to save the world. And she ends up saving the world. This one is like a pretty big, I was kind of shocked when I saw it the first time, but then you kind of see where they can get from. They actually really worked with scientists on this movie, and they worked out, a lot of this people are thinking, oh, this could never happen in real life, but they really worked out the black hole with real scientists. And then in the movie Inception, when Cobb, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, he finally gets, he's no longer a criminal. He can go back and see his kids. They have a totem. So when you're within the dream, pulling off a heist, you have a totem and you spin it or you roll it or you do something with it, and it will tell you if you're still in the dream or not. So Cobb has his wife Mal's old totem. It's a top. So he twists the top and it spins. And if it wobbles and falls down, he's not in a dream. But if it keeps going, he is still in a dream. So in the end, he's with his kids. He's celebrating that he can finally see them, and he spins the top to make sure he's not in a dream. And the top keeps going as it cuts, so you don't know if he's in a dream or not. And that's something that Christopher Nolan did beautifully. I think he really worked it out the best. And then the next movie, The Prestige, the twist ending is Borden, played by Christian Bale, he has this huge trick where, like I said, where he goes into one door and then he pops out another like 10 feet away. And Anger couldn't figure it out. And so he ends up going to Tesla, Nikola Tesla, and he ends up building a machine that creates a twin of him. So he goes into the machine and then he drops through a hole and he drowns himself. And then the twin pops out of the other hole that was created by the machine. And so he's constantly killing himself to do this trick. And he thought that that's what, essentially something along the line of what Borden doing. So he ends up faking his death and then getting Borden thrown in jail. And in the end, Borden reveals that he has a twin brother that he does the trick for. It's so simple. And they even called it in the beginning of the film. That's how good it's written. Borden's doing a trick with a bird and he smashes the bird. He kills the bird, but then he's able to pull out another bird out of his pocket that's like a twin bird. And the little boy is crying. He said, "Where's his brother?" So it's essentially just like that. He threw it right at you. And his twist endings, like I said, they're not going to be like M. Night Shyamalan where, spoiler, Bruce Willis is a dead person, yada, yada, yada. They're kind of well planned out, and you kind of figure it out throughout the film that this could be a twist ending. And it's really due to his well-written scripts along with his brother Jonathan and how they are able to develop the films themselves. Kind of a theme I didn't mention that goes along with Obsession is the morally gray character. In Interstellar, you have Michael Caine, Brand, who knows that he's pretty much sending out his astronauts to kill off the rest of the world. They're not going to be able to figure out the gravity equation. So he's morally gray by just going with his plan and not telling anyone. In Inception, you know, Cobb is only trying to get past his wife that killed herself. He's trying to get to his kids by doing anything, which means kidnapping a millionaire son. He'll do it. And then anger and boredom, the morally grayness is when it comes down to how well they can ruin each other's career and ruin each other's lives just to be the best. All right, guys, that's it for the Filmmakers Podcast today. I am Andrew Gardner, the filmmaker of the Filmmakers Podcast, or the maker of the Filmmakers Podcast. I will be going on a short break, but I do want to continue this podcast throughout other directors. So if you have other genres and other directors that you kind of want me to bring up, just mention it to me. We have an Instagram. We have a Twitter. They are both at the podcast_makers. So if you ever have a suggestion, just let me know. DM me. And let me know if you want me to cover a movie, cover a director. I kind of want to start covering, like, movie trilogies and sequels and stuff like that, and kind of compare between the two movies. But if you also have a director you want me to cover, just let me know. All right, guys, that's all I have for you today. Have an amazing day.